You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. You ever see one of those films where you're like, man, this could have been my story. Was this made about me? Hustlers is not that film for me. This is decidedly not like anything that has ever happened to me in my life. Although I will say Hustlers in its way, while to some degree following the classic Goodfellas crime story type, like beats, is, I was talking to Martin, my friend Martin, about this after the movie. I was like, I had a harder time identifying with this. He's like, yeah, I just, with Goodfellas, at least it's more fun. I was like, well, you know why that is? Because those dudes are doing things you would do if you were suddenly making a lot of money. We would not go on a purse buying spree. But for a lot of people, this is like the awesome, like, whoa, I would, if I had this kind of money, yeah, I'd be buying, I don't know names of shoes, but expensive shoes.
Louis Vuitton.
That's Nike. Right.
You should know that
one. No, wrong shoes, wrong shoes.
The red soles is a big deal.
Okay, see, I was wondering about
Yeah, that's
that.
Louis Vuitton right there. You got class if you got Louis Vuitton.
See, you guys know. Yes. This is like reminds me of when I saw the Bling Ring and everybody loved it. And I was like, I don't get it. Because it's about stealing clothes. And I was like, you went to jail for that?
Yep. Just as a quick added note, I used to do ad policy stuff at Facebook, like looking at ads. And tonight, I did a lot of designer purses and stuff. Mm-hmm. Tonight I found out how to pronounce Louboutin. I always thought they misspelled like Louis Vuitton or something like that. Like, what is this?
I would have thought Louboutin myself.
Yeah.
But that guy you just heard is his first cast. This is Jay, everybody.
Hello.
Yay. Joining us as well is Mindy, who's been here on a few of these already.
Hello.
And Harmony, this is her second time back.
Lucky number two.
Yeah, get it right this time. Just kidding. You were great.
Break my heart.
The only reason I'm here is I keep bringing baked goods.
Right, like, oh, Alicia, she may be terrible on mic, but man, she makes the best baked goods. No, I'm kidding. Hustlers is just played Toronto International Film Festival to a lot of acclaim, which I think everyone was kind of surprised by, because you're like, it's a movie starring Jennifer Lopez, who is not exactly well known in her talent list for acting.
What? The lead of G-Bates?
Yeah, I mean, she had her moments. She was good as Selena, certainly, in the film of that. And we always bring up a billion times, Out of Sight, the Steven Soderbergh film. We're like, there's your evidence, we always go, that a really good director can even make a really flat actor look like they're super talented.
What's the one with Vincent D'Onofrio that everybody likes to talk about?
I don't know.
Jennifer Lopez.
I don't know.
It was a psychological thriller. She's like a, I don't know, never mind.
Doesn't stand out for me, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was like, I know it, and it was like a weird movie.
But she's,
I liked it.
She's not known for the strength of her performances overall, at least not in acting. But here she is the second lead, strangely. It's Constance Wu, who is the real lead of this film, which once again, it's kind of cool to see more big release films having Asian American leads in them. Yeah. This is something that was all but unheard of.
And not just that. Pretty much the majority of the characters were people of color, women of color specifically.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
The team of Hustlers is basically a Benetton ad from the 80s.
Yes. You know? United Colors Benetton.
But Constance Wu plays Destiny. Did they ever even say? Yeah, they're running
Dorothy.
Dorothy
is her real
name. But they barely ever call her that.
Yes.
I caught it once.
Twice.
Yeah, exactly. Barely at all. And she lives in New York City. She's just, and when the film starts, we see she's just, you know, become a stripper relatively recently. Within the last year or two, we see it's her first day at a new club that's bigger than what she was doing before.
Right. Well, sort of. The structure of the film I found increasingly interesting as they revealed more of it, which is she's giving an interview.
Right, to Julia Stiles, who I haven't seen in a long time.
I
thought she retired, quite frankly. But rather than the narration of Goodfellas, we have the interstitial interview section. guns, which serve kind of the same purpose.
Yeah, and I love the transition into the, like, how the movie just starts, you know, she's in the strip club, and then you're like, what was it, maybe 15, 20 minutes in, and all of a sudden you just hear this, like, narrator voiceover, and like, whoa, what's going on? And then it's just like, she's been explaining this interview this whole time.
Yeah. Right.
And, like,
finding out that all this is in retrospect.
Right, yeah.
And like, they play with that, too. That was the thing that I found really interesting, because, you know, the format of the interview is done over and over and over again.
Right.
But they managed to play with it in a way that added nuance to it that was really, really unique, and I increasingly enjoyed that as the time...
Let me stick to the plot for now.
Oh, sorry. God.
So anyway, she's trying to do this job, and she's having trouble making much money at it. She doesn't know the tricks, and Jennifer Lopez shows up as Ramona, who becomes kind of like her den mother, who's like, come on, girl, come with me, I'll show you how to do all the stuff.
All the tricks.
All the tricks of the trade. Before you know it, she's actually doing really well. And the film goes into a sort of almost montage-y type thing of explaining this was the period before the big Wall Street bust in 2007, mm-hmm. when New York was filled with big rollers who were all getting their money through illicit means, but it was Wall Street, so of course no one ever had gotten any trouble for
it. Has that changed?
Not really. Okay. I think it just built right back up again, you know. And so the strip clubs are always filled with guys who are just throwing money away, and if you knew what you were doing, you could, you know, roll heavy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole first half of this film is teaching you how strip clubs work, you know, I mean, literally down to the almost the tiny details of like who gets paid and what they get
money.
Paid for and what the tips and techniques they do to try and bilk people out of more money. Mm-hmm. And on the whole, like, you know, you realize this is going to go wrong because she's telling this interviewer, Julia Stiles, you know, and Julia Stiles keeps going, like I was as an audience member, will you please get to the part where you were doing crimes?
Get to the crimes, please. let's hear more
drugging people.
Yeah. And so that's just it. They're like, when the hole falls out of the stripping market, as it were.
Well, because it holds out of all the markets in 2000.
Well, there was no more big spenders who were throwing money at strippers like the way they used to. So she's like, at this point, Constance Wu has her own child. Everybody's sort of drifting apart a bit because nobody could make really great money the way they used to. And also they insinuate that Russian strippers have kind of taken over the industry because they came to this country. And I mean, there's documentaries about that will creep your nightmares.
They're willing to do anything.
Anything. Yeah. And these girls are like, that's not the way it used to be.
Yeah.
So they kind of figure out their own thing, a grift, which is basically go out and go fishing for customers, sometimes former people they knew from the strip club, take them out somewhere, dose their drink with a mixture of ketamine and ecstasy, and then before you know it, they're like barely know what's going on, but are signing the credit card receipts for $10,000 sometimes. You know,
it went up to like $50,000,
$150,000.
So we follow this along the way with a lot of other characters that come and go. I mean, this is decidedly focused on Constance Wu and Jennifer Lopez and their friendship and the complications that come along as does in a Goodfellas structured type story as everyone starts getting greedy. But there's lots of other people, Cardi B, Lily Reinhart, KK Palmer, Lizzo, Mercedes Rule plays kind of the house mother of the strip club. Usher has a brief appearance playing himself, which I thought was pretty funny.
That was very fun.
But yeah, it's 110 minutes, and I kept saying, after the halfway point, when they finally start doing crimes, I'm like, oh, this is actually getting really interesting. And the movie picked up this pace for me of just feeling like it was in an instructional video to suddenly having a lot more style and a lot more, taking a lot more chances and doing more interesting things. The whole second half of this movie I was kind of in love with. The whole first half I was just going, oh my God, I get it, move on.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think?
I enjoyed the first half in that, I mean, it was the cleanest looking strip club I'd ever seen. You know.
That's because you went to strip clubs after 2007.
That must be it. That might have been it. No, I like the ambiance and the, kind of showing how hard it is to work there. Like, I think, I don't know if stripping is considered like sex work or whatever, but
it kind of is.
Yeah. So, and I think that's absolutely valid form of work. And
oh yeah,
so
there's nothing.
Yeah, see, you know, no judgment that, for sure.
You know, played out, and they're just trying to make a living.
Yeah, the thing about like pole dancing in particular, which is one of the big things they focus on. I mean, pole dancing has exercise classes that you can go to. Like, and that was part of the movie of teaching, you know, J-Lo teaching Constance was, this is what you do in order to get these moves, and showed how hard it is to physically be a dancer.
Right.
And
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that there's it's often taught with circus arts, and I know I've done some circus arts, and you get bruises everywhere. At one point, Constance Wu was like, this hurts my vagina. And it's like, yeah, you get a piece of metal just pounding on that. It hurts. And it, and you have, and it's strength
switch
training.
To picture of sad Terminator. Right. No one will make love to me.
Right. And it's strength training. And that was a good chunk of the first movie was, look, is actually hard work. And, a lot of people look down on it as just, oh, you're the girl at the club that we're throwing money at in a rather derogatory way. And it's just like, no, this is work.
And the movie's not playing it for lasciviousness.
No,
I mean,
not.
Certainly there's lots of nudity in it, but it's not really, it's more sort of matter of fact.
Right.
And it's not very long into the film before you're almost exhausted for these people for having to even show up for work. You're like, I don't think I could do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, more power to you. Yeah. I mean, there's a market out there of sad, lonely rich guys who want to throw money at being teased all night. Well,
there you go.
Have at it.
Yeah.
There's a reason it's called the oldest profession. People going by it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved, I love Lizzo. And so anything that she just makes like a minor appearance in or whatever, I'm just like, yay.
And also it showed a bigger body being
a sexy
woman at a strip club.
Yeah.
Although I was confused as to why they didn't utilize Cardi B more.
Right.
Because she used to be an exotic dancer. So it's like, here's somebody who knows what to do, yet she really wasn't there all that
She long. Literally just kind of comes in the beginning to be a little bit of energy. She's almost like the acting equivalent of a punch-up writer for this movie.
Right.
Where she comes in and she every time she's there, she says something funny. And you're like, oh, I like her.
Yeah,
but and then we never see her again.
And then
like
and she doesn't get to utilize her dancing. And it's like, you know how to do it. You didn't have to hire somebody to choreograph her or train her like you had to do with J-Lo, which, damn, that was impressive.
Jay, what were you trying to say?
Oh, yeah, but it also plays up to your point to where, like, you wanted to rush through the, like, basically the first act, and I think having the prominence of, like, Cardi B and Lizzo and just getting all that, like, characterization all in that first act, and that just, that entertainment factor lets you sit through that. For me, at least, really comfortably, and then when we got to the meat and potatoes of the second final act, you're just like in it. You're already invested.
They take their time trying to set that up, but it's weird that all these characters just kind of come and go, and literally the whole rest of the cast that are on the poster of this, all but two of them don't even show up till the halfway point of the film.
Yeah,
over the halfway point of the film.
Yeah, I don't know the actress's name, but she was the blonde girl, the fourth part.
Lily Reinhart.
Lily Reinhart. Yeah, they bring her in super quick with this like really quick like startup story. There was no background or anything. Mm-hmm. You just see her like right at the like rock bottom of her life, and like she's like, my parents just kicked me out. I think there was something with a boyfriend or something. But like she's like at the bottom of the barrel, and she's got nowhere to go, and then that's where Jennifer Lopez comes in, like, you know, another sick puppy to take care of.
Right.
And meanwhile, Lizzo and Cardi B are never seen again.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But, yeah, introduces other characters along the way. What is her name? Is it Madeline Brewer? Yes, Madeline Brewer, who has kind of been on the upswing a lot lately on being on Orange is the New Black and The Handmaid's Tale, and she's a star of a really great horror film called Cam, which is also about sex workers, which I really, really, really recommend.
Okay.
But I think that, like, the biggest problem this film has is just it's even though, yes, it's taking its time to draw out these characters, it's spending a lot of time with characters, like we said, we never even see again that aren't pertinent to the bigger story.
Yeah.
And I think that this could have easily lost 30 minutes and been a really tight, fun movie. But as it is, it gets a little tiresome, especially in that whole first act. And it's not like it's going anywhere you don't already know where it's going.
It's formulaic. It's, you know, we have, you know, we've hit our low point, we're gonna rise, and then we're gonna fall again. And
right.
It hit all those beats like you kind of expected them to. I kind of felt that the Cardi B and Lizzo and stuff like that might even been like added like as an afterthought, you know, so that I don't know this for sure, but because we had so little of them, it made me think, okay, well, let's just get two women of color who are doing great on the charts right now, and put him in this movie. And then Cardi B was a dancer, was a stripper at one point. So
had a similar story actually happen where she did this kind of
she
stuff.
She did this kind of stuff in real life.
She got for it earlier this year.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know that.
Well, she was proud of it, too. She's like, I totally swindled them out of their money. Yeah.
See, that's one of the interesting points this film does take that differentiates itself from Goodfellas to me is that it starts exploring the ethical implications with these characters, thinking about what is the implications of what we've done here, who have we become, which you don't usually see in these films. Yeah. Usually they're like, well, they get punished, but they still are always kind of like, yeah, I'd do it again. And these kids kind of end on a sort of like, have more of a like, well, maybe this was bad. Maybe I wouldn't have, but you're kind of put in a situation like, well, what choice did we really have?
Right. Yeah.
And I would have liked a film that got more into, like, I would have loved to have seen a trial sequence of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that would have
wrapped up really quick.
Yeah. And just like, just when it's starting to get into that really interesting ethical stuff, it just kind of ends. And
right.
I'm like, oh, well.
And that's actually one of the things that I find, and problematic in like a moral sense, and I don't know how I feel about it, is the fact that I think because the victims of these crimes were men, that it is seen as a joke.
There was laughter.
There was laughter in the theater. Yeah,
because it was definitely from men, though.
That's the thing. It's this toxic thing of, you know, men got drugged, sexually manipulated, and robbed of all of their money. In several occasions, it shows their lives utterly destroyed, and the cops are laughing about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That the media is laughing about it. People in the theater were laughing at it. And I know I was really uncomfortable. I mean, granted, this is coming from the point of view of a survivor, so I think it might hit me a little bit harder.
Right.
So it's like, this is terrible when you really think about it. And while it did go into it a little bit of the ramifications, there was still a punchline, and that really bothered me.
I can see that. We did not have the world's brightest audience, I'm afraid, though. There was a sequence that clearly was a stylistic choice, where suddenly Constance Wu leans over and turns off the recorder, and the film goes silent for a minute.
And
people started complaining because they thought the sound had gone off on the film.
That was brilliant.
That's what I really started liking, the structure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, at first it was confusing because there was like a beep. And then it's like, because it was like a you know, when you swear,
that was the audio cue.
Yeah, that was the audio cue, and I'm like, wait, what? And then the sound went out completely. Oh, this is from.
Yeah.
That's when you realize the storyteller isn't Constance Wu; it's the reporter, and it's like, oh, this is really, really interesting.
Yeah,
the way they did
like,
this. The audience was dumb when they realized that. It's like, wait, what happened to the sound?
It's like with the most recent Star Wars movie when it goes silent like that. But what's going on? Oh,
yeah. God. I was so into it at that point and it got ruined. And I'm not like snobby really when it comes to movies, but I was like I've never seen like any of the stylistic choice. I was like into it.
Yeah.
And then it just got ruined. I hear a guy just goes, what happened to the sound? And I was like, oh,
it's
come
like,
on,
what are
man.
You? How stupid are you?
Yeah. It's like, be a little bit smarter than that.
Like,
man.
Come on, that's pretty selfish. Do you not know what that was?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I thought it was an air conditioner. Mm. I don't know. There's some like really interesting visual stuff that happens, like I said, mainly in the second half of the film. I mean, I don't want to sell the first half as like it's a waste of time. It's interesting. It just should have been shorter. But a lot of the really interesting stuff and the structural thing and some of the choices like that that they make, the really interesting choices they make happen in the second half.
Right.
And there are some really interesting stuff, as well as, I think, really strong performances from a lot of these characters, especially Constance Wu and, God help us all, Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
She did a great job.
Yeah, expressing that relationship and the highs and lows of it was really engaging.
Yeah.
And
I felt involved with these people. Like,
absolutely.
Like, I absolutely invested in what's going to happen. Are they still friends? You know, it's like all that.
And the fact that they cared for each other's families and created this family, I mean, that's a reoccurring theme.
Yeah.
And the focal point was the two of them, and they really, really hit it off.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they had good chemistry.
They absolutely did.
And I guess, you know, talking to the two gentlemen here is like, it's actually kind of hard for women to make friends with each other sometimes.
It can be.
It can be.
Yeah,
and so that's why it's so, why I was particularly like really interested in watching this relationship, because it can be really difficult at times.
I keep thinking of the Family Guy Star Wars thing where Princess Leia meets Mon Mothma. Like, here she is, the only other woman in the galaxy. And Princess Leia goes, I don't like her. All right, well, let's go to final thoughts. Harmony, why don't you get us started?
I really enjoyed this film. I left some comments on the press paper that they give you and stuff like that. I really enjoyed the sound direction. I know that sounds weird to be like, for a movie, like, oh, look, boobs. You know, be like, oh, the sound direction's awesome. It really was. It was really well put together. And I was like, yeah, girls, yay, whoa, whoa. But I really enjoyed it. I think the first half could have been tighter. That's true. But I still felt really drawn into the story, and I liked it, and I highly recommend it. You know, I think it's going to be one of those movies that you go with, you know, your girlfriends or whatever. It's kind of for that type of group of people to go see it. Yeah. So I would give this, let's say, 7.5 slut drops.
You know, it's funny what you're saying. It just reminds me of a story where Barbara Crampton, who's the lead actress in the old 80s horror movie, The Reanimator, she's on the commentary track, and she loves to tell this story, too, where they get to the scene, which is her full body naked for a long period of it, and she's in a room with all guys, and they just start talking about the lighting and stuff. And she goes, dudes, look at those amazing tits. How are you talking about the lighting? What about you, Mindy?
I very agree with Harmony in many ways. I agree with you in that, yeah, the beginning could have been tighter, but at the same time, it was developing the relationship right. That was the core of the story. Mm-hmm. So I was still engaged following mm-hmm. through with it. The choreography was magnificent, and bravo to mm-hmm. them and the weird bruises they're going to get.
they've long since healed. They're fine.
Right. Like I said, the thing that would detract it is the problematic nature of victimization that it tells, and the fact that that's not okay.
Right.
You know? And so that is the bad taste in my mouth about mm-hmm. this film, and that's the one that I was driving here, and I was actually getting increasingly angry. Hmm. And that's not a good thing to leave a film with.
Right.
But since it was kind of based on a real story and the storytelling was really well done, it was still enjoyable, but at the same time made me feel kind of bad. So I would rate it 8 stiletto heels that are so tall you fall over out of 10.
What about you, Jay?
I like the movie quite a bit, not just for the ladies, because I'm a guy, if that's what people are thinking.
They're pretty ladies.
I've never been a big fan of Jennifer Lopez. I was born and raised here in Austin, and when the airport was the Air Force Base was turned to airport, mm-hmm. Del Valle got a big cash injection, and we got buses. I lived out in Del Valle. We got buses that had radios and air conditioning. And the first day we got on the bus was whatever Jennifer Lopez song was on, and it always stuck with me. Hmm. And then the Selena movie, I was burned by that because my last name is Salinas. So, yeah, that's followed me my entire life. So I've always just been like, fuck that movie, fuck her. Well, not really fuck her, but just like mad, you know. Yeah. She's like inadvertently affected my life. But she was amazing. She had this like, she didn't come off motherly to me. She had this really, like, fatherly vibe. Like, almost like this Jimmy Smits, like, swagger to her that I've seen in him in, like, other movies. Like, or even shows like Sons of Anarchy. And I like, and just to move on from that, I like Adam McKay's footprint on this, where he kind of injects that, what was it, The Big Short?
Yeah.
Yeah, where they kind of touch on that, where it's like, it was Wall Street's fault for this whole thing, and that just kind of, you know,
and kind of made them feel even that much more okay about fucking these guys.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Exactly. And that was like the justification. I was like, okay, I like that. It's almost like it's in the same, well, obviously it's in the same universe. But overall, I really enjoyed the movie. I get high on the characterization. So the first act, I loved it all. So I give this 10 out of 10 Cardi booties.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. Is it like cheeks, or is it like a whole?
No, it's just whole, glasses of Bacardi.
Ten of her whole boobies. Yes.
Okay,
yeah, it's glasses of Bacardi just in the shape of a butt.
Yeah.
I'm kind of mixed. I definitely enjoyed watching this. I think the performances are super strong. I think the direction by female director Laureen Scafaria, who did Nicanor's Infinite Playlist and Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Oh, okay.
Which I really like the latter of those two. Mm-hmm. But I thought that it's very well done. Like I said, this just needed some editing, was its biggest problem. But that can be a big problem. And I felt like it really hurt this. Especially when you're dealing with a film that's giving you a structure we've seen many, many, many times before. You got to give us something a little different. And this pokes around at doing some things that are genuinely different. But it never fully invests in those things, which I thought were the most interesting part that separated it so much from these structures. It's great that we have more and more completely female-led films. I'm all for that. But just putting that imprint on top of a really old structure doesn't completely make it new and fresh in and
doesn't rewrite the world.
Exactly. Yeah. But that being said, I think a lot of people are really going to like this film. A lot of people really did. It got really great reviews at TIFF. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 stories about Constance Wu being a total diva on set. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, apparently it was a little out of control to some reports.